You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Packernet Podcast. I'm your guest host today, JJ Leahy. Happy to be with you. Check us out online at Packernet.com. Follow me on Twitter at JJ Leahy to stay up to date with all the latest and greatest Packers news. Well, there was a skunk in my personal life. There was a skunk this evening. Here's what happened. I'm not happy about it, by the way. There was a skunk. I didn't know it was a skunk. I thought it was a raccoon in my garbage. And I go over and I'm trying to get this raccoon out of the garbage. And I go over and I kick the side of the garbage can. I'm like yelling it like, hey, get out of my trash can. I'm like shaking the garbage can. The lid falls off. And I don't look in because, you know, I've seen Looney Tunes. I know what's going to happen. If I go look in, this raccoon is going to come flying toward me and claw my face off. I'm not stupid. I'm not doing that. So I get a rock, a big rock, and I throw it into the trash can. And there's still, like, no noise at all. Nothing moving. I'm like, what the heck? I was expecting this raccoon to just come flying out of there and run off into the woods. So I just peek my eye over the... Because at this point, I'm wondering, like, is it in this trash can? Or was I crazy the whole time? And the raccoon is actually in the other trash can, which is, like, a foot and a half away. Have I been, like, kicking and yelling at the wrong trash can? And there's a coon just sitting in the other trash can this whole time, like, judging me, like, what are you doing, man? I'm just eating my dinner over here. I poke my face over, and I just see, if you live out in the country like I do, you've seen skunks before. Their fur is unmistakable. I see these long black and a couple white hairs, like, just poking out from underneath the rock. And I just knew I messed up. So I back up very slowly away from the trash can. And I'm like, oh boy. Oh boy. And there's still nothing happening. And then, like, gradually over the next couple minutes, the smell starts to come out. And it's like, it's getting to be, like, stronger and stronger and, like, you know, very clearly skunk. All right. And then my eyes start watering, and I'm like, this is a different situation. Like, I think this skunk is dead. I think there's a dead skunk in my trash can. And so I have to text the wife and say, listen, let me know when you get home, because you need to go park on the other side of the house, like, over in the yard, and then just come up to the front door, and I'll let you in the front door, because you can't go over, you know, where we usually park over by the trash cans and come in that door because I trapped a skunk in our garbage can, honey. And now everything smells terrible. So I'm not in the greatest of moods right now. Eyes are watering a little bit. Lungs are burning a little bit. I'm starting to worry that maybe the house is going to smell like skunk. So, yeah, that's my night. Saturday night here, trying to record the podcast, and all I can just smell is skunk. So that's great. Anyways, how are you doing? I'm sure you're doing a lot better than that. Simon Stepniak, you may recall him, 6th-round pick last year. He tore his ACL in a bowl game, and that caused him to fall quite a bit in the draft. We picked him up in the 6th round, if I didn't say that already. He has retired from the NFL. So that is unfortunate. He did not play at all last year, obviously. He was rehabbing his ACL injury. He practiced 2 days for the Packers at training camp here. I believe he was at, well, he was at the mini camp. I believe he was at OTAs as well. But he got 2 days of practice in here, took a day off. Well, we weren't sure where he was. Took a second day off, and we were told by Wes Hodquitz that he was taking a personal day. So, come to find out, the Packers have placed him on the reserve retired list. Here's the interesting thing. Apparently, this had to do with his mental health, not his physical health. That is per Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated. And maybe somebody else as well, but that's where I saw it. And I heard a lot of people talking about that. I don't know. It's a little surprising. Because we know he's still been dealing with the ACL. So, I guess I'm just a little bit skeptical about the mental health claim. Like it just doesn't seem, I don't know. People hide that kind of stuff well. They conceal it. They don't want to talk about that. I don't know. Like he's clearly has still been suffering from the ACL injury. Now, on the positive side, he's made a boatload of money. Like, not for an NFL player, but, like, for a you-and-me type person. I mean, he's made $607,000 from the Packers for not even playing one down of football, ever. I mean, that's a heck of a lot more money than I make. More money than I make in, like, several years, actually. But I think there already was a big question of if he was going to even make the roster. So you care about this story from the standpoint of you care about Simon Stepniak as a person. Other than like him developing into something long term, I'm not sure you care a ton about, or I should say, I'm not sure that there's a lot of impact this is going to have on the Packers roster. Maybe not ever. I mean, we haven't seen anything from him since he got drafted. I don't know. In other news, the Packers brought in 2 defensive tackles and 2 running backs today, Saturday. 3 of them got a tryout, and then 1 of the running backs just got a visit but no tryout. All 4 of these guys are undrafted free agents from the last 2 years, or not including this year, so the 2019 and 2020. Josh Hilleman, running back out of Rutgers, is the 2019 guy. Defensive tackle Trayvon McSwain, Duke. Defensive tackle Josh Avery, Southeast Missouri. And Pete Guerrero. If we sign him, I would promise I will figure out how you're actually supposed to pronounce his name. If we don't sign him, it doesn't matter. 2020 UDFA from Monmouth. Monmouth. I've never heard that word written or said out loud. I've seen it written 100 times. So, to anybody who went to Monmouth or Monmouth or however it's pronounced, I apologize if I'm mangling that. But, you know, I've seen it written and never heard it. It's not a word that gets spoken often in my circles. I find this a little bit interesting. The defensive tackle thing makes sense. Obviously, I don't need to tell you why it makes sense. The running back thing makes some sense to me. You got to remember, last year, our running back 3. Yeah, it was AJ Dillon, but you know, you also had Tyler Irvin there, who had already proven himself to the Packers. They knew what they had in him. They knew that he could fulfill certain roles. I know a lot of you guys really like Kylan Hill. I am not sure what he can do this year. I've said that before. His pass protection is just horrible. Dexter Williams, like him, but man, he has certainly not earned the trust of the coaches. Has not earned Matt LaFleur's trust. For Goot to go be looking at two running backs and two defensive tackles, I just don't think it's a coincidence. And defensive tackle is a position we already know, obviously, is something that really could be bolstered. I like our running back room a lot at the top. And behind Dillon and Jones, I just... I think that this is probably related to Patrick Taylor getting put on the PUP list. You know, if you have three guys back there competing for running back three, and you're thinking that you're going to have a guy on the practice squad, makes a lot of sense. I don't think Dexter Williams has any practice squad eligibility left. If the Packers are not willing to trust that Kylin Hill could make it to the practice squad, that's another reason why you might want to have another guy in training camp competing. So, is it, you know, camp body, or you think that he could be better than Dexter and Kylin? You know, maybe a little column A, a little column B. So, all right. Put together my news. So, a lot happened that was just really interesting to look at. I guess first I should cover the injuries. Because we heard from Goody on, I don't know what day it was, Wednesday, I think, that, no, Thursday morning is when I heard it, that the all the guys who failed their physicals and got put on the PUP list, or I should say the non-football injury list, that's what it was, that they were all short-term, not serious things. So you had Kevin King, that turned out to be a hamstring. I forget who said it on Twitter, so I'm sorry. Hopefully you're listening and you're like, hey, that's me. Kevin King thought about training camp, and that's why his hamstring started hurting. That's Za'Darius Smith, it's a back injury. Kingsley Keke, ankle. Will Redmond, foot. Dominique Daphne, knee. Now, Dominique Daphne, I believe, is on the PUP list. Isaiah McDuffie, hamstring. Patrick Taylor, groin. That is an interesting one because I just assumed Patrick Taylor was put on the PUP list because of his foot injury that he has been trying to recover from for two straight years. Last I checked, the groin is a different part of the body. So at least it's good news that it's not the foot. Because if he put it this way, you know, maybe he pulled a groin doing something, and I don't care. That's fine. If you're still not able to even practice because of the foot injury in college, and this is your second year in the league, that's a major red flag to me. And I'm nervous that we're never going to get to see you on the field. Mercedes Lewis was out. That was veteran rest. He's back at practice. And some onlookers were very entertained watching him work with Bobby Tonyan on blocking. There's a cool video. I encourage you to check it out. I will go ahead and retweet it Sunday morning when this episode goes out. So if you want to go check out my Twitter, you'll find it there. It's a Ryan Wood video. So it's absolutely fascinating to watch Mercedes Lewis go over blocking teaching points with Robert Tonyan. Could watch this all day. The reason it's interesting is because the video is taken so close up, you can hear the guys talking. You can tell what they're saying. It is very interesting. It's a great video.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
In some non-Packers news, Roger Goodell said that the league expects to have full stadiums this year. He said the fans want to come back. That's the number one thing we hear. So that's encouraging. I would love to have people in the stands this year. I have tickets. My lovely wife gave them to me for our anniversary. Surprised me. I was... we talked beforehand and she's like, hey, so yeah, I was thinking about like, you know, we should do an anniversary gift. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. She's like, well, do you want to set like a $50 budget? You know, I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. $50. And in my head, I'm like, psh, I'm going to go way over $50 on my gift for you. And like, it's going to be awesome. Like I'm going to be the best husband ever. And you know, so I got her, you know, a nice gift. And then she just comes out of left field with these two tickets to go see Vikings at Packers in, I think it's week 17, week 16. So that'll be a blast. January, that's going to be super fun. I've never been to Lambeau before, actually. Have not, if you can believe it. My great-grandma grew up in Green Bay, knew all the players, and talks about them all the time. And I've never been there, so this will be a real treat for me to finally go get to experience a game at Lambeau. I live in Michigan, so I see the Packers play at Detroit, which is much more affordable for my poor little wallet here. As we previously mentioned, I don't make $607,000 a year like Simon Stepniak did. Something that I found interesting, you're probably not going to care, but I care. The Jets cut Sam Ficken. He was the kicker that we brought in, it wasn't even last year already. It was 2 years ago to compete against Mason Crosby. And, I always was really interested in what was going to happen with him because he was so electric in camp, training camp. And it was just like a really stark reminder to me that training camp does not matter. He was, like, pretty much perfect. In fact, I think you would be hard-pressed to make the case that Mason Crosby was the better kicker between the two of them in training camp. Like, you know, they would kick for 3 days, and Crosby would miss two kicks, and Sam Ficken would miss one. You know, it was, like, stuff like that. But it's, like, is it a big enough difference to go ahead and take Mason's roster spot away? No. He goes on to play for the Jets, and he's horrible. So, just a reminder, you know, you hear notes about training camp and you know, who looks awesome, who looks awful. Just remember, Aaron Rodgers throws a ton of interceptions every year in training camp, and guys like Sam Ficken are superstars in training camp, and it just doesn't matter. Got to trust what the coaches. You know, what their evaluation is. And one of the reasons I bring that up is because who was it? Bailey Gaither. I keep hearing about Bailey Gaither. That he like looks like a freak and he's like so good and you know, Packers can't cut him and we're going to have to riot if they cut him. Just a little reminder of how many wide receivers we have competing right now. And like Randall Cobb just made that way, way more complicated. In the last 10 years, there's only been two seasons where the Packers kept more than six wide receivers. And actually, almost every year, they only keep five. So in 2019, they kept six. In 2018, they kept eight. So all you Bailey Gaither truthers out there, 2018 is your year. 8 wide receivers. 2017, 5. 2016, 7. All right, now, prior to that, 5, 5, 5, 6, 5, 5. It's usually 5. I think it's 6 this year because I just don't think that you can justify cutting that many good receivers. But 7? Never say never, but count me as skeptical. So let's just say that it's 6. Devontae and Amari, they're getting roster spots, obviously. Randall Cobb, well, you have to give him a roster spot because otherwise you don't have a quarterback. So that leaves 3 roster spots, and you have MVS and Alan Lazard. You also have Devin Funchess. And then everybody and their brother wants to keep Juwan Winfrey. Can't forget, there's EQ. I'm surprised people aren't still clamoring for Reggie Begelton. So then you get all the way down to Mr. Bailey Gaither, and I completely skipped over Malik Taylor because I just know that everybody listening doesn't want Bailey, I skipped over Malik Taylor because I know everybody listening doesn't want to keep Malik Taylor over these young, exciting guys of Juwan Winfrey and all that. So, food for thought. You got 3 roster spots there. So are you cutting MBS? Are you cutting Lazard? If you're not cutting either of those the guys, then you have 1 roster spot for Funchess, Winfrey, EQ, and Mr. Bailey Gaither. I'm not buying it. Put him on the practice squad. You get some injuries. Look, Randall Cobb gets hurt all the time. There you go. There's your roster spot. But no, I don't think he makes the 53. We'll see. But thought I'd talk about that. All right, back to the notes. All right, so Friday was a very light practice. A lot of guys were not asked to do anything. It was like just kind of a light walkthrough, and that was about it. And Mercedes didn't do anything at all. I think he wasn't even there. LaFleur on Saturday morning came out and he said, yeah, we're ramping it up. They ended up going almost 2 hours. There's still no pads, if you can believe it, but it was aggressive. And LaFleur was asked some questions about, what his sort of philosophy is on the camps and all that. And specifically, the joint practices coming up with the Jets. And he mentioned that, look, not everybody is a fan of it. And obviously he's referring to Rodgers. But he reiterated how he feels that they're important. He feels that one of the big things that is a benefit is that it kind of breaks up some of the monotony of training camp. He said that the players really hate going against their own teammates all the time. They want to go against somebody else. He was talking about getting your nerves out, getting some of that, the feeling of those in-game reps without all the injury potential. Now, the obvious thing that you got to think about is when Jay Sternberger gets clocked and ends up on injured reserve because some young Texan rookie couldn't control himself. Anyways, I just think it's interesting, and we'll have to see what they ask Rodgers to do during the joint practices. I wouldn't be surprised if LaFleur is like, hey, Aaron, you just take the week off here. Don't even show up. Is that going to happen? I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's what I would do. Like, what else do you do in that situation? Like, we're doing this because I think it's what's best for the whole team. You hate it and you complain about it all the time. Like, even back when you were not a disgruntled player, it was still something that you vocally hated. Like, just let him take the week off. I don't know. We'll see. Whatever. Okay. Randall Cobb's contract came out. Disappointing. What we had heard was that he took a pay cut. That is not true. They just restructured his deal. They took money from this year, converted it into a signing bonus, so he gets the cash in his hand right now. That is fully guaranteed money. It is split between this year and next year because they added a void year. I guess they added two void years because there's a 2023 is also a void year. So we get a 1 year rental of the guy. Costs us $5.25 million. But in 2021, we're only paying $2,687,000. And then we get to pay another $1 million and a quarter, I guess, next year and in 2023. So, I don't know. That's just disappointing to me. I was really hoping that there... I think it wouldn't sting so much if we hadn't heard that he took a pay cut. And then you find out, oh, no, psych, there's no pay cut. It's just more of this kicking the can down the road. Whatever. Eric Stokes has been getting worked over in training camp. They keep putting him up against Devontae, and he's getting murdered over and over. Feel bad for him. Matt LaFleur says, first-rounder Eric Stokes learned yesterday why it's vital for cornerbacks to have an especially short memory at this level with the touchdown he gave up to Devontae despite tight coverage in the red zone, saying, quote, that was a pretty freaky move, talking about what Devontae did. That quote from Matt LaFleur was given before Devontae murdered Stokes over and over again. In practice on day two, or I guess, you know, day four of practice. But all right, here we go. Josh Jackson and Eric Stokes with the ones at cornerback might be being cautious with Jair. So Jair was out. Jair had cramps on Friday is what they said. And then he didn't practice at all on Saturday. I don't really think he needs to practice, but, you know, we're obviously some concern there about, is it cramps? Is it something serious? We'll see. From Andy Herman, deep ball to Tonyan on a corner route. This is, I don't know why I put this in with my Stokes. This is a Darnell Savage note. Oh, well, you get some Darnell Savage. Deep ball to Tonyan on a corner route. Ball hung up there a bit too long. Believe it was Rogers on the throw. Savage got there early. It would have been an easy pass interference call. These young guys need to clean it up. Josh Jackson getting first team reps across from Eric Stokes. Chandon Sullivan is the nickel. For those of you keeping score at home, the nickel, that is that star defensive player that we heard all about. And Chandon has kind of consistently been the guy that they keep putting there. I think Joe Barry even mentioned him in his like introductory press conference as one of the guys that he was really interested in. And I kind of took it with a grain of salt at the time, but it seems like he meant it. So here we go. Rodgers and Adams torch Stokes on a double move for a long touchdown. Eric Stokes' education continues. Packers rookie just got beat on a deep vertical against Devontae Adams. That's three touchdowns he's allowed against Adams and Aaron Rodgers in the past 2 days. He's got plenty of company in the NFL. Just a reminder that Devontae does this to everybody. I like it. This doesn't scare me about Eric Stokes. It's a trial by fire. Look, you know, you go up against the best. Iron sharpens iron. I want him playing against tough, stinking competition here because guess what? There's other good wide receivers out there in the league that he's going to go up against. I like it. Come on, school that man. Packers again dropping Adrian Amos in the box with their three safety look. That is something we have consistently seen ever since OTAs this spring. Adrian Amos in the box every time. With Henry Black off of the non-football injury list, he drops back as deep safety with Darnell Savage. It was Vernon Scott deep with Savage when Black was on the injury list. So that's interesting. I wonder if they are just like, maybe this doesn't mean anything. Like, he's been out, and so it's like, hey, get out there, you know, see what you can do. It's training camp. None of this matters, right? Henry Black getting reps with the ones at safety in dime look with Amos moving into the box. I guess this is the same play. Would seem Black is ahead of Vernon Scott at this point. This is Andy Herman giving his point. Reminder, Will Redmond is still out, injured, and it was Redmond in that spot in OTAs and minicamp. So, Redmond, Black, Scott, that is the pecking order in the opinion of Andy Herman. So, take that for what it's worth. Josh Myers got all the love. I mean all the love. James Jones was at camp today, and he was having a good old time. He interviews Aaron Rodgers somewhere. I can't find the video of it, but he interviews Aaron Rodgers, and yeah, on NFL Network today, for an under the he asks Aaron Rodgers for an under-the-radar guy who can really help the Packers' offense. Rodgers, quote, I got to say, should I do the Rodgers accent? I think you'd hate that. Quote, I got to say, the center, Josh Myers, for a guy to come in as a draft pick, as a rookie, and to be that comfortable, it's pretty impressive. He has looked good in training camp. He did have the botched snap, you know, the fumbled snap real early on to Rodgers, which is fine. Matt LaFleur even came out and said, yeah, I'm not really going to harp on something like that. It happens. Seems like he's really getting along. Rodgers also talked at one point about just how stinking big the guy is. And it's true. He's massive. He's way bigger than Corey Linsley. Like a whole head taller than Corey Linsley. Another offensive lineman to keep an eye on. Ben Braden. He played at left guard today. We've heard that the coaches like him at tackle. We really didn't see him a whole lot last year, but I think Ben Braden is here to stay for a bit. I really do. Be really interesting to see him in at left guard. Elton Jenkins has been killing it at left tackle, is what we keep hearing from people say, and new tackle signing Dennis Kelly. Coach Hahn, I think, is the one who said that. Isn't that right, Coach Hahn? Ryan said that Coach Hahn is going to say that Dennis Kelly is our new right tackle. We'll see. But that would mean Billy Turner might be in at right guard. And I just want to consider that for a second, because then you got Elton at left tackle, Ben Braden at left guard. I like him there at left guard more than I like, say, Runyon. Josh Myers at center, Billy Turner at right guard, and Dennis Kelly at right tackle. That's a heck of an offensive line. That is the first offensive line lineup that I have heard or thought about, since we lost Corey Linsley. And I would say before that, going back to like Lane Taylor getting hurt again. That was the last time that I really felt like, yeah, that is a nice starting five where you don't look at any guy as a massive weakness. Like we lost Lane Taylor, which sucked, and you put Lucas Patrick in there, and like from day one, yeah, you know, for who he is and where he came from, you know, you're proud of what Lucas is accomplishing, but he's definitely a step down from Lane Taylor and a step down from Billy Turner. I like that offensive line. Tell me you don't like that offensive line. Now, maybe your opinion of Ben Braden is not the same as mine, but I just, you know, the coaches like they feel comfortable having him take snaps at left tackle. And now you're saying, well, let's put him in at left guard, a much easier job. I like it. And maybe he sucks as a guard. We'll see. Now, John Runyon took a snap today, took some snaps at center. That's a new one. Didn't go well. He snapped the ball like, 6 feet over Jordan Love's head. So that's not great. something interesting to think about. Devontae, here's a note from Rob Domofsky. You can tell that the skunk vapors are getting to me. He says, Devontae Adams does this every single day. While the special teams are on the field, he works on his releases at the line of scrimmage. Talk about making your strengths even stronger. And there's a picture of Devontae doing that that drill where you do your feet real fast. You know what I'm talking about. The one that everybody gushed over Julio Jones for doing. Rob Domofsky is saying that that's something Devontae does every single day, that he's always working on the fundamentals, working on the basics. You know, look, they preach 1% better every day. I mean, Amari Rodgers even just tweeted it out yesterday. It matters, man. Here's another note from Aaron Nagler. Devontae is getting after Chris Blair for not finishing off a drill at full speed. The standard is the standard. And when you're a guy like Chris Blair, you can't be taking plays off. Like, I just read you the wide receiver room, and I left off all the guys who I don't think even have a shot at making it, and Chris Blair was in there. Like, that's a crowded room. You take a play off, that's not a good thing. And I like that Devontae is in there. Like, he's not distracted by the whole contract thing. Like, when he's in football mode, he's in football mode. I like that. He's taking command of the wide receiver room. That reminds me, LaFleur was talking about MVS this morning, Friday morning. And he said that one of the big things that they really want to see from him this year, and that he feels he is seeing this year, is MVS stepping up as a leader in the locker room, in that wide receiver room. And he said something like, look, Devontae is the leader in that room, but there's a role there for MVS as well, and I want him to step up. Remember, MVS was wide receiver 2 last year on this team. Just saying. Probably will not repeat as wide receiver 2 this year. Maybe. You know, a big part of why it happened last year was injuries, you know, for Lazard. And, you know, it could very well happen again. Anything could happen. We'll see. I feel like half my commentary is, well, we'll see, and you know, training camp doesn't matter and anything could happen. And that's just football. That's the thing. Like, we're making educated guesses based on the information we have, but it's football. And football is so unpredictable and crazy. Last couple of notes that caught my eye. Robert Tonyan. So Andy Herman says, what can a really good season in the NFL do for your confidence? Everything. Robert Tonyan is playing with supreme confidence right now and catching everything. Just had a nice fingertip catch in drills, but it's been the same in special teams. Another jump for number 85 is very possible. And that's something I didn't really think about, is him taking a step forward. Because he did take a big step forward from year 2 to year 3, for sure. And kind of the knock against him has been that a lot of his production was when he was schemed open in the red zone, in the end zone even. But, you know, he's got to feel awesome about all the touchdowns he got last year. All the respect he's finally starting to get, you know, here and there, at least from his own teammates, right? From other tight ends around the league, even if he's not, you know, even if Evan Engram, who I think had, like, more dropped passes than he had completions, or maybe it wasn't that, but it was some stupid statistic like that, getting into the Pro Bowl over Tonyan. Confidence matters. Maybe Tonyan takes a step here. I just got excited reading that tweet, and I hope you got excited hearing it as well. Running backs. No question about it, says Andy Herman. Dexter Williams is running with much better contact balance. Kylan has more raw talent, but Williams' experience will help him. He's further with becoming a pro at running back. And that right there, like, kind of sums up a bit of what I think about those two guys already. I just am not sure you have an offensive contributor for this year, any other one of those guys. Like, Andy is sitting there watching practice, and he's saying, yeah, Dexter looks more like a professional NFL running back than Kylan Hill does. Yeah, Kylan has fantastic highlights, but I'm not putting him on the 53 because he has some cool highlights in college. So I that's why I think that maybe there's some meaning behind Goody looking at running backs in free agency here. I don't think it's nothing. Jordan Love checks into a strong side run to Dexter. Was the right call, and Williams picks up nice yardage. Nice read by the second year QB. Aaron Nagler talked about what he's been seeing from Jordan Love this offseason, and the biggest thing that he pointed out is he said Love looks to be in complete command of the offense, which is a drastic difference from what you saw last year. A lot more confident, and he doesn't always make the right decision. Sometimes he hesitates a little bit, but he looks, you know, night and day better than he did a year ago, and that's fantastic. That's what you want to see. Chris Barnes is still linebacker number one. Hearing that from everybody. Rashawn Gary is still a freak. And Devondre Campbell is the other linebacker out there. Is Kamal Martin hurt? Hang on, let me go look at the injuries. Is Kamal Martin hurt? No, he's not even on the list. So I don't know what's going on with him. I have not heard his name one time in training camp. That's not good. But those are your linebackers, is Chris Barnes and Devondre Campbell. Something really interesting before we wrap up here. So Carson Wentz is hurt. Remember, he got traded from the Eagles to the Colts. And that trade was a very significant story because the Bears were rumored to be the top bidders for a long time. Everybody thought Wentz was going to the Bears. And Bears fans didn't want Wentz. And they were really relieved when the Colts end up taking Wentz. Well, he is hurt. He hurt his foot. And that story just seems to be getting worse and worse. Like at first we heard it wasn't really anything. And then we heard it might be something. And then the Colts signed Brett Hundley. Good luck, by the way. If you think you're a playoff contender, you're not rolling into the season with Brett Hundley at quarterback. That's not happening. Not in 2021. Shouldn't have happened in 2017 either, but it should definitely not happen in 2021. And here is the interesting thing for me. The Bears are hyping up their quarterbacks right now. And I don't think they're doing it for the fans. And I don't think that they are doing it. I think they're trying to interest the Colts in another trade here. I'm serious. Matt Nagy came out for some reason and starts talking about Nick Foles. And the team is insisting that Andy Dalton looks like a monster and like he looks so good. And that maybe they're interested in trading him. Matt Nagy absolutely understands, this is according to Jeff Dickerson, why Nick Foles' name is mentioned whenever a team, such as the Colts, is potentially in need of a quarterback. There's a whole article about this, about Matt Nagy gets it. He gets why Nick Foles has so much trade value. I don't think most people in the league think Nick Foles has a ton of trade value right now. Maybe he does, but Matt Nagy keeps hyping that up. I think that they are trying to interest the Colts in another trade. That kind of solves their problem. If they can unload, like, yeah, obviously it'd be nice to get something for Nick Foles, but like, maybe you could unload Andy Dalton and then you don't have to start him for the first few weeks of the year, which you had promised him, and you could have an excuse to roll Justin Fields out there. I don't know. We'll see. I think it's hilarious and I wanted to share that with you. All right, I'm going to have to pack it up and head to bed. You fine folks, enjoy your day. I hope your house smells better than mine does, and I'll talk to you soon. Hey, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at JJ Leahy. Keep up with all the breaking Packers news. It is that time of year again. Keep up with the training camp news. Follow along with injuries and surprise second-year players retiring. All that good stuff on Twitter, at JJ Leahy. All right, have a good one, folks. Go Pack, go.